Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 103, June 19th, 2013. Hello, everybody. It's K9EID and all of our Ham Nation friends around the world. I'm coming to you from Pleasant Hope, Missouri tonight, and I have in my hand all of the ingredients for Field Day. How about it, Gordo? Are you ready for Field Day from WB6NOA? How you doing?
The West Coast is ready for Field Day. We have our SPS 50. We've got our UV protection for our little eyeballs, and we are ready, Bob. So let's see how the rest of our guests are doing getting ready for Field Day.
Well, I'm sure we're going to have a lot going on here. I got all my stuff ready. Sarah went and got me some really cool bug guard, and we got all of the other ingredients of sunblock and stuff like that. So I am ready to go. I get to go to Jonesboro, Tennessee. Everybody's probably tired of hearing about it, but I'm like a little kid in grade school. I can't wait to get to spend the weekend with Wes Shum and Nick Tusa and George Meyer and Lynn. All these guys are going to be there. We're so thrilled. So we'll have a report for you. But before we get into some real serious Field Day, Dale has some wonderful stuff coming up in a few minutes. George has got some stuff. I know Don has some things, but we've got to get real serious here for a minute. We want to bring our great friends on from Colorado, Amanda and Jeff. It's so good to see you guys, and I know you've had a tough week or two. How are you doing, kiddos?
Had to say, Jeff is ready for Field Day too. Go ahead and show him. Not everybody has this accessory, but we do.
You'll need that.
Yes. It has been rough. It's been a rough year with fires here in Colorado, and they're still burning right outside our town about 20 miles away. So Aries is stepping in, helping out with the Red Cross shelters. So this was the first picture Jeff took from our front porch saying, I don't know what's going on, but it's bad. And the next photo is from my dad's house. Same thing, about the same time, saying, uh-oh, something is bad. About that time, we started reading on the news about the bridge fires. Now, see this red circle here? This is a before picture of the bridge, of course. And that's where we've done special events. And this is the after picture. It looks like a war zone, you guys. It's really terrible. It has been, actually, these are our childhood memories. So anybody that's been there. Now, these are some before and after pictures. So there's a water clock tower, before and after. The next one is the tram, a before and after. Oh. Isn't that awful, you guys? It's sad. The next one is the admissions gate, where there's just nothing left at all. And here's tourists with all of this smoke right there at the admissions gate, and they're not running for their lives. I thought they were crazy. I don't understand. They're just sitting there looking at it. I would run. The carousel, this is a really creepy picture to me. I know. It's just terrible. 48 out of 52 structures burned. And that's my dog barking in the background. Here's some planks that burnt on the bridge. 32 or 33 planks have burnt up on it. And this is us at our Aries shelter giving communications for Red Cross back to the chapter up in the Colorado Springs area. So Jeff and Phil, my guys, and this is us thanking the firefighters for all of their hard work. You can't ever not thank them. They worked really hard on putting this out. And this guy is so cute. Oh. This is a blessing. This rare white buffalo, there is an animal park there, and all animals survived, by the way, you guys. And this guy was born last Saturday morning, and appropriately, they named him Smokey. And a rare white buffalo born in the middle of a flipping fire. So I'm really happy all the animals survived. We've really upset about the North Colorado Springs area, where they have now lost 509 homes, which has just been devastating.
Wow. Oh, boy.
And I'm going to do this total up in my head here real quick. That's over about 900 homes lost in the last year from fires here in Colorado. Mostly man-made, man-caused. And, you know, whether it be accident or not, just stupid people, I guess. And I'm going to let Jeff say a few words since I've been talking the whole time.
I don't know what I can say except be careful, I guess. Being from the fire service, watch the fires or don't light fires. I think a lot of people just don't consider the risk, and they have a campfire, and then all of a sudden we wind up with what we've had the past 2 years.
So there you have it, you guys. Colorado almost literally is on fire right now. I know here in Canyon City, we depend on the bridge for a lot of our income. The rafting companies depend on it as well. The rafting companies are still going, but it's been hard. And I did have one more picture, I think, on there just to show you guys that we did find a new field day location, and we're looking forward to field day and making contacts and trying to blow off some steam and get over the detrimental fires that we've had around here, as long as we're not called up for Aries this weekend. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Wow. What call will you be using? Do you know?
I do know. And it's November Charlie Zero Alpha. It happens to be one of the guys in our radio club's call sign. And the CWers like it because it's quick to put out there. So that's why we're using it. NC0A, everybody. I look forward to hearing and talking to all of you. I will be running the voice station a lot. Jeff's going to be doing digital PSK31 most likely. And we'll also have a CW station.
That's wonderful that you can at least make field day this year, because I know it was there was some thought that you wouldn't be able to do that. But I'm glad that you forged ahead and you got it happening. And my heart goes out to all of you. Sarah and I have been talking about this a lot because we hear some of it on the news. But we're praying for you and Jeff, because I know you guys have really been smashed this last year or so. And you have a lot of fans here on Ham Nation, and we all want to keep up with what's going on and so on. So you stay in touch with us. We'll have you on now quite often, because I got some other things that we'd like to have you do with us. So you take care of everybody out there, your parents, your business, and hope that everything works well for you too. And thanks for coming on and letting us see those incredible pictures. Horrible, but yet incredible. And we're glad you're safe.
We are too. And yes, our field day site did burn up. I forgot to mention that, everybody. It did. It's ashes. So that's why we had to look for a new home. And Jeff, go ahead and say goodbye. Thanks, everybody.
God bless everybody. See you later. Be careful out there.
Have a great field day, everyone.
Bye, Amanda. Bye, Jeff. And thank you so much, kids, for being such strong supporters of amateur radio. By the way, we're going to learn more in the next couple of weeks about Amanda's side job, and that is QSL card. So more about that after field day, when everybody's going to be doing a lot of them. Bob, back to you.
Yeah, we're all going to need a lot of QSL cards, and I think Amanda might be able to help on that, and we might be able to help you. So she'll get her design hat on. We'll talk about that next week. Thanks for being here, and we appreciate that. Well, Gordon, you talk about it so much, about how strong amateur radio is and what they do, and you work so much with everybody to get them ready. But there's the real deal, right? Where'd you go, Gordo? There he is.
Yep, I think they signed up. But boy, I tell you, Bob, you're right. They are the real deal, especially working with Aries just moments before. Now they've got to put on their field day hats. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah, well, they certainly have weathered lots of storms in the last year or so. Well, we want to switch out to Dale in Wichita. Dale, you've done such a great job in getting things going and so on with our 100th anniversary, you and Mike and Al and Bill. And you're going to take on a new job, a new hat here. You're going to handle all the videos and the stills and so on. Let's hear a little bit from you. You've got a lot of field day things, too. So step in here and let's see what you've been up to.
Okay, very good, Bob. Glad to see you and Gordo here this evening. Fantastic reporting from Amanda and Jeff out in Canyon City there. That was really good photojournalism. We're ready for field day here. I'm a Jayhawk journalist, and I'll be out there covering the field day here in Wichita. Probably won't be trying to use any of my video this year, but tonight we're going to try to get everybody else ready to get their videos on the air next week and really get field day covered in a big way. Now, tonight we're going to talk fundamentals. And when we say that, let's talk about, say, football. If you played football in college or in high school, you remembered if you didn't learn how to block and tackle, and if you didn't do it well in practice that week, you probably sat on the bench. Well, here with in photojournalism and in videography, we have our fundamentals, too, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I've got three listed here on this slide that Brian's put up for us. First off, you want to show and not tell. I could sit here and talk all night and tell you how to do it, but you wouldn't get anything. But if I show you, it will probably communicate pretty well. Just a couple of more we'll throw out here. If it's a bad shot, it's not close enough. Think about that. We'll be looking at that in a second. And three, what do you do about that? You zoom, but you do it with your feet. You don't do it with the lens. So just a couple of fundamentals there. And that brings us to the first video. We want to show you how not to shoot. So don't do what you're about to see right now. Brian, take it away.
Everyone, please welcome Justin Bieber. Hi, Justin. I'm Caleb from USA Today. I'm asking you a few questions about your new CD coming out.
Okay, very well.
I feel like
okay, that's just a few seconds of a little skit that was put together for an alumni student challenge. It was a lot of fun. You know, that video could have gone viral if it had been shot right. So what did he do wrong? Let's look at a couple of points here. Brian will bring up the next slide. How could he get away from that? Well, look what happened. He was a member of the team. I said, hey, this is going to be fun. Why don't you shoot some video for us? And I handed him my iPhone. Well, he was used to shooting with big cameras and wasn't used to that little phone camera. So, and he didn't think about moving into the action. So phones have real small sensors. If you're going to shoot us videos with your phones, they have real small microphones. And as a result, what happens is you got to be extremely close. You must almost invade someone's personal space to get the job done on the air. So what else did he do? He didn't really pan much, but that's one of the things we want to tell you about. Don't pan. And then remember one more thing. Think sequence. Let's move on to another video. Now, this one, there's going to be some issues in it, and we want to talk about those issues. But before we do that, let's go ahead and roll the video. It was sort of a field day prep for members of the Wichita Amateur Radio Club at ARRL Kids Day.
For the Wichita Amateur Radio Club, ARRL Kids Day was a practice run for field day next week. They pulled a G5 RV across the channel of the Arkansas River, set up a magnetic loop antenna to eliminate some of the noise around exploration place, set up a portable antenna for 2-meter communications, and unknowingly ran on battery power for a couple of hours. Kids Day was great fun for club members, but how about the kids?
This is so fun. I've never done anything close to this.
Wasn't that priceless? That closing shot there, that's the kind of thing you need in your videos for Ham Nation and for anyone else you'd like to show them to. But there were some things going on with that video that make it a little less than perfect, but it still probably told the story. If Brian will bring up the slide, we'll talk about some of the potential issues that we ran into. You'll always, as a photojournalist, probably have a conflict between getting the perfect picture or the perfect video and making sure you get all of the story. And you got to tell the story or you don't have anything. The background noise in that place was just unbelievable. There was a large speaker right in the hallway about 8 feet above our location there. It was connected to the dinosaur exhibit on the other side of the wall, and you couldn't hear yourself think. So one of the things, especially if you're a one-man band, you need to rectify that and get some help. Possibly if I'd have had some help there, I could have had someone hold a external mic right up to the kids or something while I was recording them and pick them up a little bit better. But you can fix a lot of it in post-production. I cranked a lot of the background noise out and a lot of the voice up just in Final Cut Pro X when I did the editing. And there's always the conflict between shooting on a tripod, which you want to do all the time when you're shooting video, and the ability to move quickly. So let's talk about video done right now. Think about these things as you watch the video done right. Now, tripod, tripod, tripod. Sequence, sequence, sequence. Long shot, medium shot, close-up. Action, reaction, then repeat. Think about that. Now, let's watch the video. It was at the candy store here in Wichita, only this time the candy store was out in the sidewalk. And let's take a look.
Okay, Dale, this is Mark Breckeisen, KB0MOF, down in Derby, Kansas. We're at the 22nd annual sidewalk sale in Derby, Kansas, in front of the Radio Shack. We started this dude out in early 90s, probably around 91, 92, and it started just being a few cars in front of the store. As you can see, Dale has taken some pictures. It's definitely expanded to the whole parking lot. And we feel like we probably have one of the best sidewalk sales in Kansas, all over Kansas. And we definitely compete with some of the larger ham fest. I'm looking at probably 75 to 100 vendors selling, mostly individuals selling old stuff they don't need. And they're picking up new stuff. But nice to see you from Derby, Kansas. Mark Breckeisen, KB0MOF.
Oh. Okay, that was the candy store here in Wichita and the annual sale. Notice that it took 2 hours to shoot that video. Took 2 hours, actually a little bit more than that, to edit that video. So when you get into this, you're going to be taking a while to get things done. But it's worth it in the end because we got that whole 2 hours worth of shooting into 60 seconds. And 10 seconds of that 60 seconds was credits. So remember the fundamentals we talked about earlier. We used a tripod. You could notice that by telling how solid the shots were. They weren't wiggling around and shaking or anything, at least most of them. Establish your scene. Tell the people where you are. shoot sequences. You probably noticed a number of sequences in there. Hope so, anyway. Use an external mic when you record someone. You notice how crisp and clear Mark was there in the video. And go for action and reaction. Shoot something happening and then get the reaction of someone or the audience or whoever that reaction might come from. And get closer all the time. The closer you get, the better. And in the meantime, never pan. Panning, they say, is what the neophyte cameraman does until he's no longer a neophyte cameraman. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to go forth and conquer. Cover field day like a swarm of gnats this week. Let's get a whole bunch of videos in here that we can show in the next couple of weeks here on Ham Nation. We've got a new address for you to send it to. It's at the bottom of the slide there. Send that edited video to hamnationvideos@twit.tv, and we'll see that we can get as many as possible of those videos on the air. Bob, Gordo, that's about it for here. I hope we've given people some tips that can get them going this weekend and get some good video on the air here.
Oh, now you're making it tough on me because I just last night made up a cable. I'm going to this great, fabulous weekend with Wes Shum, and he's actually going to teach some workshops. So I said, I don't want to just take this great little camera and stand at 10 feet from him because you know what's going to happen. What you heard in the video, it's going to be really weird sounding, echoey audio. So I made up this cable, and it's got a stereo, that's important, a stereo plug, and I'm going to plug that in the camera, and now I'll have about 20 feet of mic line, and I take that, and we'll plug it into a PR22 or some microphone that we can get close to them. It's very important, and I hear it and see it all the time. Hey, I hear it on the radio, but we are not going to get into that one now. These guys that sit 2 and 3 feet from their microphone, you never want to be more than a few inches. In the pro audio world, it's about a hand width away, but we'll get into that some other time. But what great, great ideas. We're going to repeat some of this again in the coming weeks, Dale, and thank you so much for taking this this position. And it's hamnationvideos@twit.tv, is that right?
That's it. And you are so right about the audio. It's so important to a video. And also, you might want to think about it when you get really serious about shooting videos is you're probably, if you're shooting with a DSLR especially, you're probably going to need a preamp on the camera between that and the professional mic you use. That's just one more tip we didn't throw in earlier. So, yeah. Bob, I hope we can get some really good videos in here for next week. And we've got that one already. The guy did a parody. And so that's going to be fun, too, I think, for everybody next week.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being here and all the work you've done. Gordo, what do you think? This is a pretty good beginning, right?
Oh, I think it's a great beginning. Thanks so much, Dale. And speaking of field day, let's think about safety. I hope everybody's got a hard hat. And, of course, just to keep the sun from burning your forehead, a regular hat. Safety lenses, so important for field day. And, of course, when we get to the technical side that we'll see in just a few seconds, line isolators, that's something we'll be using at field day. Or maybe make up your own type of line isolator. And here's one that Chip has made up for his VHF-UHF setup. And, of course, have plenty of the Anderson connections and the Anderson PowerPole multi-box. So if we may, let's quickly go through field day as we have it out here on the West Coast and make every attempt to get more kids involved in field day. And sometimes a little bit of CW is enough to get them excited. Of course, field day food and a nice little antenna on the back of your RV might help your range on field day. And make sure your equipment is well grounded for field day and double check that you got copper foil as the ground. And looking forward into field day, make sure all of your stations have a band chart. And all of the major manufacturers offer band charts. Maybe a little late, so just tell everybody, bring your band chart so you know when you're within band when the rare DX shows up for field day. and of course the CW key that you hear here. And what I do is I put these on all of my field day equipment wire leads, including those that go to the CW keyer. So an errant strong signal nearby doesn't accidentally put me on the air or give me distortion on my transmit. And if you've got anybody operating field day with a little battery and they've got a battery charger, just like the X you see there, no battery chargers because they emit so much garbage on HF with their switching technology. So watch out for battery chargers on the portable stations. And let's see, what else are field day? If you got an older piece of equipment, you can put a newer piece of DSP. And both West Mountain Radio as well as BHI make them. And the radios that you see here are older, but the DSP noise will noise cancellation speakers will certainly help. And let's see, looking on, of course, get kids involved. In fact, the go-to station, that's always a popular one at field day. And if you're going to be taking pictures of kids, make sure and get photo releases for them. And get that sign up there because as ham operators, we want to attract more folks into our hobby. When they see what the heck we're doing, ham radio field day on the air here, they'll be attracted to that sign and hopefully to your operation. And we encourage you to get a lot of ARRL materials they make available and promote the league membership to those working field day. And, helium is in short supply, we found out, and it's expensive. To fly our 160-meter balloon last year was hundreds of dollars. So keep the tank safe. Only use it for inflating the balloon and wait till the wind stops and get that balloon antenna way up on the air. And try something different. Don, probably in the background's watching this, amateur television. Up at 2.4 gigs, notice we've got the antenna well above everybody's head in an area where no one can walk in front of the couple of watts coming out of it. So promote different aspects of field day beyond just the regular HF side. And we'll take a look again. Here's my field pack, and it's got a gelled battery in there. Nothing beats a good old voltmeter. That voltmeter tells you everything about what's happening with your battery during field day operation. And let's see, logging. Yeah, if you're a computer logging, then be sure that you've got the right person to help you log. And if you're doing it by hand, make sure everybody can read your writing. And yes, the CW in the background you hear is my cue to Brian on when to bring up the next slide. And here's something that you might not have realized. That transceiver that you're using at the house may do something strange with an LCD display when it heats up without a sunshade over it. And that is, I've seen, not lately, but some of the older ham radios begin to get mighty dark. This is a marine radio, but the LCD gets dark. So check it out ahead of time. Maybe put it outside tomorrow and see if the sun turns the display back. So again, think about eye safety at field day. Whenever you're working on antennas on Friday, getting them up, make sure you've got protective lenses on. Climbing a tower, make sure you have the right time climbing harness. And make sure you've got a hard hat and the right shoes as well. And most important, have fun at field day and let's attract more hams in our hobby. So have someone there that's the PR person that's going to talk to those outsiders that come up going, what are all these antennas? And you can give them the field day pitch. Bob, back to you.
You got it. You got it, Gordo. It's all wonderful. And I'm one of those guys, man. I got my logbook ready to go. And yes, I know I'm an old coot, but there's just something about field day and my operation of being able to fill in these pages. Yeah, I know. But I'm not one that goes out for the contesting part of it. I just have a lot of fun. And so we're going to be operating similar equipment that you see behind me all the time. You've heard about it so many times, 1958 20A and stuff like that. So here's some of the stuff that's happened around Springfield last year. Rollo's Brian, and let's check them out. Here's what they did. There's a couple of others in here too. So here we go. The fun part of this whole thing is being able to see what's going on. And they put their sign up, and it pays. Like you said, Gordo, you have to be able to tell people what you're doing. So run through those slides. Ooh, I think something froze up here on our old Skype tonight. What's happening? Are you there, Brian? Are we okay?
Oh, yeah. Bob, you're coming through great. Now, there's Bob at Field Day about 3 years ago working with the Costa Mesa MESAC organization. He's on one of his distinctive mics, and boy, he really had a pileup going on the air. And Brian, the next shot, and Bob, once you get back rolling, just jump on in. Here I am again at Field Day doing a little bit of, looks like CW. Next one, Brian. And you never know what's going to be happening. Go ahead, Bob.
This is the one of the Ozark clubs here in Springfield. And like you, Gordon, they had signs up. They invite people to come in. And that's Patty and Sean and right behind the Red Cross here. And as you can see in the next slide, the Red Cross is well represented, as well as the TV trucks. They invite these guys out, and this is amazing. That was their solar power panels, and they have a very cool thing with that. That is running into these batteries. This is a commercial unit that they borrowed from a company here, and they're getting about 26 amps out of that baby. And I was very impressed with all of that. But they also had generators and things going on. So those are things that not everybody can do, but you should try some things, some new things. That's so important, is to try new things. And don't be afraid. It's Field Day. And like you saw at the beginning of the show, when fires happen and emergencies happen, who's there? Ham radio. How do we know what to do? Because of some of the crazy things to some people we do on Field Day. But you know what? When disaster hits, Gordo, it's not too crazy, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. And I love your idea of try something new. Do something you didn't do last year, this year, and see if it works. And if it doesn't work as well as you thought, put it on video, because we're looking for the greatest goofs of Field Day in good spirit for next week and the following weeks under Dale's video reviews. Go ahead, Bob.
You got it. Well, we're going to have a great time, all of us, and we want to hear from you. We want to see what you're doing. Take your cameras with you and send them in to Dale so we can see what's going on. Well, speaking of going on, let's hear about Newsline. Don's got a great Newsline for us. So here we go with Don Wilbanks and Newsline from Bill Pasternak.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1870, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 19, 2013. The delegates and guests at the Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications, or GAREC 2013 conference, coming up later this month in Zurich, Switzerland, will have a busy agenda as they share ideas and learn the approach being taken in different parts of the world. Jim Davis, W2JKD.
GAREC 2013 will discuss the true objectives, dissemination of disaster information at an international level, how to have hams prepared, trained, and involved, and convince authorities about amateur radio emergency communications. One topic on the agenda is whether amateur radio has an emergency communications role in Europe. This is because the authorities believe their infrastructure is so good and its technical level is so high that a disaster could not affect communications over a wide area. More information can be found at www.garec2013.ch.
The Atlantic hurricane season officially started June 1st, and many predictions indicate an above-average number of storms this year. As amateur radio continues to play a significant role in the gathering and distribution of information for weather and emergency services each year, hams and other IARU regions are being reminded that the same frequencies may be in use by nets in North and Central America to track and deal with the consequences of these severe weather events. As such, it's possible for Region 1 or Region 3 amateur stations to cause unintentional QRM to these nets. Because of this, hams worldwide are being asked to please listen carefully if operating near these frequencies. A full list of which nets are operating on various frequencies can be found online at www.iaru-r1.org. It's wildfire season in the West, and parts of Colorado are again burning. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, has more.
The Amateur Radio Emergency Service in Colorado is providing communication support for personnel on the Black Forest and Royal Gorge fires currently burning in the southern part of that state. Operators have been assigned to shelters, emergency operations centers, and other locations as they were needed. The Automatic Packet Reporting System, or APRS, is being used and constantly updated with current data showing the locations of the fires, shelters, evacuation zones, and, of course, road closures. You can find the data on aprs.fi and openaprs.net. More on future Amish Radio Newsline reports.
The Toledo Mobile Radio Association in Ohio has filed a petition for rulemaking with the FCC asking for increased voice privileges for technician class license holders in the 10-meter band. Again, Jim Davis, W2JKD.
In its request, the group is asking that technician class privileges include 29.520 megahertz to 29.700 megahertz, which covers the Gentleman's Agreement repeater subband on 10 meters. Tony Everhart, N8WAC, is the club's technical committee. He tells Amateur Radio Newsline that the petition was the result of a club considering the installation of a 10-meter repeater.
During the talks of a 10-meter repeater, I suggested, well, if we put up a 10-meter repeater, just the general classification and higher can use that, which, you know, doesn't benefit the technicians. This was a few months ago, and the more I thought about it, the less it makes sense. They don't have the FM privileges. You know, they can talk worldwide from 28,300 to 28,500, but they're not able to use the FM portion of the band. I brought it up to the technical committee, the suggestion of possibly file a petition, and the technical committee was all for it. So the committee brought it up to the membership at the membership meeting, and it was a unanimous decision to file a petition.
In its rulemaking request, the Toledo Mobile Radio Association argues that the current FCC rule that limits both novice and technician class operators to 28 megahertz to 28.5 megahertz is not in keeping with the reality of today. With the linking of various repeaters, the Internet Radio Linking Project, and Echolink, it feels that limiting technician class license privileges in the 10-meter band only from 28 to 28.5 megahertz is outdated, and we'll keep our eye on this one for you. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And it seems like it just never ends with the tornadoes in Oklahoma, the fires in Colorado. There's always something going on, and ham radio is always going to be right there to help out. Something else that ham radio is all over, and this happens once every 4 years, is the 2013 National Scout Jamboree. It's going on in West Virginia. Here's a great QSL card that you can get, and I believe George has some information on that right now.
K2BSA, the official radio station for the National Office of the Boy Scouts of America, will be very active in July. Next month is the 2013 National Scout Jamboree. Don't just be a contact, be an ambassador to this incredible hobby. Amateurs operating the K2BSA stations will receive a commemorative powered by ICOM K2BSA QSL card. Talk to the scouts and share the magic of amateur radio. The National Jamboree takes place over 10 days from July 15th through 24th. The event is held once every 4 years. This year's event will be held at the Summit Bechtel Reserve in West Virginia. This summit is the new permanent home of the Jamboree. This year, K2BSA and Chairman Jim Wilson, K5ND, will be live at the summit. Four ICOM 7200s, two 9100s, and one 7600 will be engaged in HF demonstrations. Satellite communication and a contact with the International Space Station are also scheduled. Three ICOM 2820s will monitor the repeaters, Echolink, and D-Star. Go to K2BSA's Jamboree Live webpage for on-the-air frequencies and information on how to engage with K2BSA while on the site www.k2bsa.net/jamboree-live. ICOM is the exclusive amateur radio transceiver and repeater supplier for the 2013 Jamboree. Check out the K2BSA website at www.k2bsa.net for updates on the 2013 National Scout Jamboree And make sure you visit ICOM America's website at www.icomamerica.com/National Scout Jamboree for additional BSA information.
That is going to be so much fun. And EchoLink is a great way to get in touch with the Scouts and the National Jamboree. I've got some node numbers for you here. The K2BSA-R, that's node 4566. That's the demo station. Node 6544 is the VHF FM repeater. Node 9877 is the UHF FM repeater, and the EchoLink Conference JOTA-365 will get you in on all the fun. And go to icomamerica.com and find out all of the information there. There's some great radios you can get on the air with ICOM, the VHF, UHF, D-Star. It doesn't matter what you get on with. Just get on and talk to these scouts, and if you're using an ICOM radio, so much the better. You get this great QSL card. You can see the big one here over my shoulder. And I want you to go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and check out the weekly drawing. And, of course, go to k2bsa.net as well for the National Jamboree. But while you're on the icomamerica.com/hamnation site, check out the official rules, all of ICOM's previous winners. You could be a winner for the weekly swag. And also there's a monthly grand prize drawing for a free radio. And it's icomamerica.com/hamnation. Sign up, good luck, and hopefully we'll see your name among the winners. And I believe George has some information on the monthly prize, which is the radio. George, are you there?
I do have some message or information here, Don. And I spoke with Ray earlier today. They had a problem with the ICOM registration website over the weekend. They got all the registrations up through Friday, and then some got dropped over the weekend. So you may want to go try it again. But after each episode of Ham Nation, you can go register. And so that's four times this month. And what they're giving away is an ID 880H, and that's the same dual-band VHF, UHF, D-Star model that I use. It's got a wideband receiver, free cloning software, 50 watts of output on both VHF and UHF. You know, most UHF radios only have 35 watts, but you got 50 here. It's got built-in weather channel receive with weather alert, built-in noise filters, and a lot more. So after the show this evening, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register in the drawing. You could be the lucky winner. And, Bob, you know, I was looking forward to field day this year. You know, Tommy and Jimmy and I went out in the woods here several years ago and had a big time. We had to take the torch away from Jim because it hadn't rained in a while, and we didn't want any forest fires, but I'm not going to be able to do that this year. You know, my son just got his technician license, and then he upgraded to general a couple of weeks ago, so I'll be going to Texas for field day. I've got to change my hat here, and we're going to be setting up his first HF station there. So we needed an antenna, and I wanted something he could get on all the bands possible with, and he's got a limited amount of space, so we decided to build an off-center fed dipole, and here's a little look at that. You've seen us build dipole antennas on Ham Nation before. Well, this week I'm going to build a little variation on the standard dipole. This one is called an off-center fed dipole, and the reason is the antenna is not fed right in the center, it's off to the side. Why would you do this? By making it an off-center fed dipole, it'll be resonant on more than one band. Now, this is probably not as good as having a separate half-wave dipole for each band you want to operate on, but it is a simple antenna that you can build that will work multiple bands. So we're going to need a few things to start with. We're going to need either a 4-to-1 or a 6-to-1 balun. Here's the one that we built several weeks back from MFJ. It was a kit. You'll notice the wire coming out the side here for the feed is uninsulated. Well, I really don't like to put bare copper out in the elements like that, so I'm going to put a little heat shrink over these wires, and we'll seal it up good with liquid electric tape or something here after we've got it connected. Of course, we're going to need some wire since it is a dipole, and we need two pieces. The total length that we've got here is about 130 feet. We've cut one piece here to be 85 feet, 2.5 inches. We actually should need 83 2.5 inches, but we cut it a little bit longer so that we've got some room to play with to tune it. You can always shorten the cable. It's hard to make it longer. And for the shorter element, we've got 47 feet, 9.5 inches. and we'll actually probably use 46 9.5. At least that's the calculated values. We're going to need a couple of insulators too, one for either end. So I've got a couple of little ceramic insulators here. I think these came from MFJ. The wire that I'm using here came from Lowe's. It's just regular old stranded wire, and this is 12 gauge. You could get by with something smaller, but you know, I like using this because I can stretch it a little bit tighter. We'll need to strip back the insulation on one end here so that we can connect it to our balun. We want to be careful not to nick through and cut the conductors in there. So I'm going to just kind of score it here, and then I'll take my wire strippers, twist it a little bit, and then pull it off. We've got three eye bolts here on the balun. The center one, of course, is going to be used to hang it, and the other two will be used as stress reliefs for our elements. So the way I'd like to do this, and there's all kinds of ways you can tie this, but this is the way I usually do it, and I haven't had a problem with it yet. I'm going to pull about that much. That's probably about 5 inches worth. Do one wrap around the outside. And do the other one inside the loop. Sort of like this. So as the wire gets tighter, it's actually will be tightening down on it, on the knot there itself. Now, I know I'm going to get emails about this because everybody's got their own way of doing this. And I'm certainly no expert on it, but as long as it stays up there, I think you're safe. So here's what I've ended up with. And now we'll solder these two together, and that'll have one element done. And I've done this one essentially the same way. I got a slightly different length there, but, you know, that's probably not going to matter much at this frequency. Now I'll tin both of these conductors before we even try to solder them. And I'm going to put some flux on there. You know, I'm a big believer in using solder flux. And now we need to connect these two. And I'm using such heavy gauge wire here, it's going to be hard for me to twist these around. So I've got a box of these little crimp sleeves that I bought, at Lowe's a while back. I didn't rush out and get them for this project. So I've slip my crimp sleeve up on there. I'll just go ahead and crimp that down now. I just feel better if there's solder on it. So we'll flow a little solder up in there. All right, I feel pretty good about that one now. I'm going to use a little bit of denatured alcohol here to clean off some of the remaining flux. Now, this is not really the recommended way to do this, but in my case, it's what worked. So that's what I'll use. Now I want to insulate this as well to keep it from corroding. So I'll use a little bit of Scotch 88 electric tape here. Once I've got that done, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to use some liquid electric tape here and coat that. And then this ought to be good for years to go. Now we've got all that dry and everything looks sealed up good. There's only one thing really left to do. That's to put the insulators on the end of the wires here. For now, since this is going to be tuned on site, I'm just going to put them on here and just wrap them around a little bit. Once I get on site with an antenna analyzer, I can tune this thing and then trim off the excess because these wires are just a little bit longer than necessary. So there you go, how to build an off-center fed dipole. And Bob, what do you think? Is that a decent multiband antenna?
As long as it does some kind of resonating, you never know what the pattern's going to be. So like I said a while ago, you put it up. If it works, terrific. If it doesn't, try something different. But I bet it'll work. I don't know why, but I hear a lot of those on the Collins Net. I'm on Tuesday and Thursday nights. For all you guys sitting around on Tuesday and Thursday nights, tune in to 3805 at 8 o'clock Central. 3805 is the Collins Net. Now, you don't have to have Collins radios to get on it, but you hear a lot of them, and there's a lot of older transmitters. And I get on with the 20A usually, but I hear a lot of the off-center dipoles, so a lot of them work really well. So let us have a report, and I bet you'll have some videos of it, won't you?
I plan to shoot a little bit if we've got time. We've only got Monday to do this. He's playing out of town over the weekend, so we'll see what we can get going on that and report back. And I know we're not going to be able to get a straight shot across the yard. We're probably going to have to bend the ends of it around, but we'll get something up in the air and at least get him on. And then he can play with it and rearrange it as he wants later. Well, I got something to give away here. Yes, Bob?
Okay. We're ready. Let's see what you got.
Okay. You know, I had a telescopic antenna with a swivel on the BNC connector here to give away this week. And I had asked the question, and this came from the general amateur radio exam, what are the two major ratings that must not be exceeded for silicon diode rectifiers? It was A, peak inverse voltage and average forward current, B, average power and average voltage, C, capacitive reactance and avalanche voltage, and D, peak load impedance and peak voltage. And we had a winner, and that was Richard K8RMM, and he said it's A, peak inverse voltage and forward current, and you're correct, Richard. So we'll be sending this out to you this week. And for next week, we've got a nice prize here. This is a Howl Sound Coochie, courtesy of Howl Sound. You can put your beverages in this for Field Day. And if you'd like to win it, well, answer this question. What is another name for an antenna that's very similar to the off-center fed dipole? There's a real popular one out there that's, you know, got a shorter lead, about one-third on one side and two-thirds on the other. What's the name of that antenna? Send me your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you may be next week's winner.
All right. You can put lots of Dr. Pepper in that, you know. That works well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be other guys put other things in it. Hey, thanks a lot, George, and have fun with your son. We're so happy for him, and congratulations for him going all the way. That's really super, and he had a great teacher, though. See, that's the deal. Gordon's book and Father George. My goodness, it doesn't get any better than that. Well, we got a couple of things here that's kind of fun. First, I want to run some slides that came from Greenville, Illinois. You know, we had them back about a year ago where that John has done a remarkable thing with he and the club there, the Ocal Valley Club in Southern Illinois. They've really done some marvelous things in this town. And one of the things he did, Gordle, you're going to love this, to promote Field Day, they went to their radio station and were on it for an hour talk show with the kids. And it was really great because they fielded calls from the listeners of this radio station in Greenville. I got just a minute here. This is a promo that the radio station ran about that program. Let's see if we can hear that, and we'll run some slides of the kids around that.
Tune into Public Affairs this Sunday following the noon Bond County area news here at WGEL Radio. On Saturday and Sunday, June 22nd and 23rd, amateur radio operators from the Ocal Valley Amateur Radio Club will join with thousands of other amateur radio clubs across the U.S. and Canada, showing their emergency capabilities at the annual Field Day event held at Patriots Park. We'll speak with some of the young operators about the event. That's Public Affairs this Sunday following the noon Bond County area news right here at WGEL.
Hey, Mr. Gordo, how do you top that for PR for your club and Field Day?
That is terrific publicity. So I know this year they'll have standing room only around all of those radios with all the kids, and I hope they work. W6ZE. W6 Zulu Echo, that's where I'll be at one of the stations this weekend. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, super duper. Oh, I was so happy. I hear from John a lot. He's been a friend for a long, long time, and he just keeps cranking. That club is really active, and I appreciate them doing what they do for the kids. Well, I got another piece of audio today from a good old Nashville friend of mine who owns a recording studio down there. John, you might have heard John on KC2QMA. He's got a wonderful system down there in Nashville. And he has great signal on the air, but he works somebody real special. So let's play this. And he sent back this audio clip of who he worked. Check it out. Let's roll her, Brian.
You also, of course, always sound terrific. So thanks. I'm sure there's some other folks that would like to get in there, so I'm going to just pass along 73 and send me an email, and I hope we can set up some more chat time. I'd like to do that. You can do that on the 3847 or 10 meters, 40 meters, whatever you want to do. You want to do some testing and play sometime, send me an email. Say, are you ready? I've got my new chat set up. I'm ready to talk, and David and I will be right there. Okay? So you have a great night. That would be KC2QMA. Good evening to you, John. This is K9 BIK, and we'll move on to the next person that would like to check in. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. There we got. We got to hear and Cheryl and see her new station. That's terrific. Cheryl, how are you tonight? That was cool.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Gordo. Hi, George. That was so nice of you guys to get those pictures out there, too. Boy, was that a surprise. Wow. So I just wanted to say welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Field Day Week. Everybody did their great video. We had Amanda. We had everybody. It was just a lot of fun today. But I just want to stress about, you know, a comment of it's very important to always have your safety equipment. It looks like we had WB6YAF Russell in our chat room tonight, and he says, remind everyone to think safety, safety, safety. And I've got to stress it over and over again. Use lots of caution tape. Use hard hats around the towers, et cetera, and ground your stations. Watch those gen sets. The generators are all over the place. Everything. But it's really, really critical. So do that. And I also want to just say, go ahead and don't forget the bug spray. They got those little devices you can wear even on your belt nowadays to take care of it without the spray. So they might work too. I'm not sure. I haven't tried them. I'm not going to mention any brands or anything like that. We all know what they are. So I do want to just quickly say we do have a question here for you, George, and it's VE3MIC. Good evening to you, George. VE3MIC Mike says, should you connect the long or the short wire of the OCF dipole to the center conductor going to the coax cable?
You know, that's a good question, and I didn't see any information on that, so I don't really know the answer, but I bet our pal Gordo does.
Oh, I got it. Yep. Well, because awesome. The center conductor and the coax is going to the ballon is going to equally distribute the energy to one shorter side and the other longer side. So no need to hook it up direct because it won't work. It's got to go through the 4-to-1 ballon. So a coax cable connector into the bottom of the ballon, and the ballon doesn't sing at 300 ohms out for both sides of the OCF. Back to you, Cheryl.
Hey, thanks for that answer, Gordo. Good job. Like that hard hat, by the way. Bob, you look pretty cute in that straw hat. I don't know. I might want to take that for myself. I love that. You look good. Anyhow, let's move on to, I just want to just say one more thing about a field day comment. Still, that Ritty thing is bugging me. And if everybody would just maybe check in at the top of the hour for the first 2 or 3 minutes, maybe they'll make more connections. It's only a suggestion. I'm not making up any rules here. You know that. Okay. But pretty much the other question that keeps prevailing here, it's always, how do I submit ideas for the show? A local ham owns this antenna farm, a world-class contest station, might make a good segment. And there's two more that are coming in here. And every time I get this question over and over and over again, where do they send their suggestions, Bob?
You can send them to Gordo. You can send them to to all three of us, and we'll see what happens. So many times, though, that the stories, they have to be short, and they have to be something that has some good video with it, too. Still, we like to do stills. I really do like pictures that we can slide through, just like the thing we just did with you. And that's really nice to be able to have pictures to go through instead of videos where we don't know what the video is going to be. So that works well. So send us ideas and we'll get back to you. We have a lot of them in the trenches right now, but you have all of our addresses and just send them in and we'll see what happens.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And I just want to make a quick announcement that on the ICOM 7800, we have the remote installed and ready to go. And we have invited Mr. Bill Pasternak to join with us. And hopefully he might even be able to be on 75 meters with us tonight. So we're going to work with him and get him a little bit more information. He's already signed in. He just needs to tweak it a little bit. We might just have him in there from California on our ICOM 7800 right here from Northeastern Illinois. And he's way out there in California. So it'll be just a great time. So we're looking forward to talking to you on the After Show QSO. And for Ham Nation and Bob Heil and the rest of the guys, have a great field day. 73 and CQ field day. Take care now. 73.
All right, Cheryl. That was terrific. By the way, it's Bill Pasternak's wife, Sharon's birthday coming up. So happy birthday, whoa, Sharon Pasternak. And Bill, thanks for all you do for Ham Nation. Absolutely. And Newsline. Bob, I'll send it back over to you.
All right. Well, thanks, Gordo, and happy birthday to the Pasternak household. George, you're off to Texas. Dale is off to the video editing booth. We're going to have great fun this weekend. But please remember, while you're out there having good times on field day, that Amanda and Jeff are in a real crunch situation with those fires. We hope they stay away.
That's terrible.
And those guys can have a decent field day. We'll see you all from Jonesboro, Tennessee, W9. Well, I think we're going to be using DYV. That's Wes's call, W9DYV. I'm hoping that we'll use that. I'm sure we will. But we'll be around, and we hear you guys on. We'll give you a call. Thanks very much to the entire crew back in Petaluma. I know it's tough again, Brian, but you do such a stellar job. And Dale, you were terrific. We really appreciate what you did tonight. George, as always, great. Hope your antenna works. And Don, boy, oh boy, you just keep cranking that news line. I love what you do. Gordo, we'll be looking for OZE on field day.
Roger that.
Yes.
73 on.
All right. 7-3, everybody. Remember, all this is available on the replay. Just put Ham Nation into Google. We'll see you all soon next week right here on good old Twit Network. Thanks, Leo Laporte. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.